We are in a series on spiritual gifts, and it's called Your Part in God's Plan. And we started the whole series off by looking at God's plan, as described in Ephesians 1. At the right time, He, that's God, will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. And when something is brought under the authority of Jesus Christ, it is restored back to God's original intention for it. So when we are brought back under the authority of Jesus Christ, we are restored back to our original condition, which is to be holy and without fault in the eyes of God. And you might be thinking, how's that possible? Because when I look in the mirror, I don't see a holy and without fault person. I know myself well. Well, the way God does it is He looks at you through the finished work of Jesus on the cross, and He sees you with out fault and as holy, because that's what Jesus does. Now, this work of Jesus will be brought to full completion when He returns, and He will bring and restore everything back to original, including creation. In the meantime, God's plan for you and me is to be His visible presence of Jesus in this world, and we're to continue Jesus' restoring work, the work of bringing people under the restoring leadership of Jesus Christ. And as we've looked at, God equips us with gifts and abilities to carry out this work, and the gifts we're talking about are spiritual gifts. Now, on the first week of the series, we gave you a paint swatch. I don't know if any of you have kept yours, but it was a visible reminder, first of all, that each person is given at least one spiritual gift, and the paint swatch is to also remind us that paint is used for what? For restoring. It restores walls or whatever we apply it to, that your gift is given to you to join with Jesus in His restoring work. And last week, Pastor Rowley talked about how the Bible teaches the importance of using individual gifts together as the body. And so in 1 Corinthians, we were told a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And then jumping to verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Now, these are the words of Paul, but St. Peter actually writes similarly in 1 Peter 4. He says, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So I really hope by now, if you've journeyed with us in this series, that you understand why God blesses you with spiritual gifts and why it's so important as followers of Jesus that we play our part in God's big plan by using our spiritual gift for His purpose. So today, I want to get specific about the spiritual gifts. What are they? What are the different types of gifts listed in the Bible? How do they operate? What are they used for? And my prayer is that as I speak about all the gifts, and I am going to go through all of them, because I suspect most people won't do a course on this, so I'm going to try and touch on them here today. But my prayer is that as I talk about each gift, that the Holy Spirit might stir something in you when I'm talking about the gift you either got or He wants to give you. All right? So before I go any further, I'd like to pray some more. Father God, I just ask Your Holy Spirit's presence to be abundant here, and that Your Spirit would speak to our spirit, that as I talk of these spiritual gifts, that you would stir something in us. Quicken our spirit is a word I could use, but just stir something in us when I might be talking about the spiritual gift that is already in us, that we may not see, that we might already see, or that You want to give us, Lord, that You would give us some awareness of our spiritual gifts. And I commit this to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I talk about spiritual gifts, I think there's a question we do need to just explore real quickly. What is the difference between a talent and a spiritual gift? Okay? So, a talent is what I would say is a natural ability given to us by God at birth. And a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability given to us by God at our rebirth. Or any time after, actually, God can give us spiritual gifts. So, a talent can be anything you're born with, like natural athletic ability, musical aptitude, artistic skills, skills to make things with your hands, intellectual skills, and they can be in areas of like mathematics or physics or actually those two are sciences or creative use of your mind. I could go on and on. And God allows a person to use his or her talents for many different purposes and in many different capacities. And, you know, most of us try and put some of those to use to earn income, don't we? Now, when it comes to spiritual gifts, God opens up the ability of a person to be used by the Spirit for his purposes and work. What this means is a spiritual gift can actually grow out of an existing natural talent or ability of the person. At the same time, God can actually give you a complete new gift out of the ordinary for his purposes. Where yours comes from, if you can't work that out, that's okay. The key thing to acknowledge is that both talents and spiritual gifts come from God, and both are for his purposes. And if you want a difference, the difference between a talent and a spiritual gift is simply that Christians receive spiritual gifts, whereas everybody can receive talents. But only Christians can receive spiritual gifts because only Christians have the Holy Spirit working in them, okay? But as a believer of Christ, you're called to use both your talents and your spiritual gifts. And if you struggle to distinguish which is which, that's okay. Understand the call of God to use them for his plan and purpose. So, what are the spiritual gifts listed in the Bible? There's a whole bunch of lists in the New Testament, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. Now, the number of spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament will vary depending on which scholar you read. And it can get a bit confusing. But if we go back to what Pastor Rowley said last week, which we, you know, agree on, is that we see that the lists of spiritual gifts given in the New Testament are more illustrative than exhaustive. That is, they are examples of gifts and they illustrate the kinds of gifts God gives, but they're not the absolute end of the story of what God can give you. So trying to pinpoint an exact number is impossible to do. To avoid confusion, I had to make a decision which gifts am I going to talk about. I've decided to use the gifts listed in the spiritual gifts test I'm going to encourage you to do as take home work this week. There might be extras that you are aware of that I don't talk about today. It's not that I don't think they're important. I'm just trying to keep everything lined up so we don't get confused, okay? So, you can also take the spiritual gifts and lump them into categories. Again, everybody does this differently. I'm going to follow the categories that the spiritual gifts test person who put this together follows. So let's jump into them. The first are called serving gifts. And serving gifts help build up the body of Christ. And whenever I say the body of Christ, think church, the local church. That's Christ's expression in practical and loving ways. And the first one is, sounds a bit boring, but it starts with A, administration. And with this gift, the Holy Spirit enables certain Christians to organise and direct and implement plans to lead others in the various ministries of church. How many of you have volunteered to do something in a church and you got there and it hasn't been organised? That's terrible. So it's a real gift to have someone do this, isn't it? And this gift is closely related to the gift of leadership. But whereas leadership is about influencing and leading people, the gift of administration is more goal and task orientated. They pay lots of attention to detail. And these people are the ones you would call the organisers. They get it all organised. Now, thing is, if you have a newer translation of the New International Version, I think the new one came out in 2011, it's going to translate this word administering, which is in the older versions, as guidance. So you go, where's this word administration come from? But it is actually a different word. And the New Living Translation says leadership, which is interesting because the word for leadership, I think, in Romans is different. So he talks about it as the gift of administration. The second spiritual gift in the serving category is one called exhortation, but it's often called the gift of encouragement. And the Spirit gives some people the special gift of encouragement. And these are those that it gives it, so these are the people that can come along and encourage someone who's really wavering in their faith, having some doubts. And encouragers can also come along those who are serving in ministry or serving God's purposes, who are getting discouraged, and just be able to spur them on to keep going and keep doing what they do for God. So they can uplift and encourage, but they can also challenge and even rebuke. You think, how does that work? Well, we pastors often need that kind of encouragement where we're challenged and reminded we're not Jesus. And not to think, and I'm smiling at some people who challenge me that way at times, and just back off what you think you're trying to do and be encouraged because you're actually trying to do something you're not called to do. That's the kind of encouragement I'm talking about there through challenge and rebuke. Then there's the spiritual gift of giving. Now, all Christians are called to give in response to God's gift of Jesus. However, the Holy Spirit gives some in the church a capacity just to be very, very generous, to meet the needs of the church, or say a missionary or a church planting initiative, or of people who do not have the means to provide fully for themselves. Some of these people have the gift to live very simply so they can give more away. Others have the gift of making a lot of money and not being afraid of giving half or most of it away. And the goal of this spiritual gift is to encourage and provide for God's work through these people. And these people, when they understand their gift, will do it anonymously, virtually, and give all the glory to God and his provision. Then there is the spiritual gift of leadership, and that's closely related to the gift of administration and the spiritual gift of pastor/shepherd. And the Holy Spirit gives a spiritual gift of leadership in the church so that to lead people into caring for God's people, leading them into a deeper relationship with Jesus and each other, and obviously leading teams to advance God's plans and purposes he has for whatever that group's attempting for God. Then we have the spiritual gift of mercy. Again, all Christians are called to be merciful as God's been merciful to us. But God seems to give some people a real rich anointing of this gift, and they really feel others' pain. And it enables these people to come alongside and love and assist those who are hurting, and they can do it over a longer period of time and really support people. And these are the people who won't only just give someone a loving ear, their compassion will mean they're going to have to help some way, whether it's physically, spiritually or emotionally. I've got all the staff to do the spiritual gifts test I'm going to ask you to do, so we know what it's like and what comes out. Rochelle in the office sent me a message and said, oh, here are my gifts, and the top one for her was mercy, and I text back, I'm so glad to hear that because you're going to need that working with us. The final one in the serving category is actually called the gift of serving or ministering. And this spiritual gift of service or ministering covers a wide range of activities in its application. It's also sometimes called the gift of helps, depending on which spiritual gift stuff you read. And the Holy Spirit empowers some believers with this gift to fill many gaps in the ministries of a church as it fulfills, you know, the mission that God's given it. And the goal of people using the gift of service is to free up others who've got different gifts to use them more fully. And a classic example we would find in the book of Acts, where the church grew so quickly and was, you know, yeah, growing so quickly, the apostles had no idea how to keep the finger on the pulse of everything. And suddenly we've got some arguments breaking out with some widows who aren't getting food distribution, which is what they were trying to do. And the apostles prayerfully considered this and said, hang on, We need to find seven Spirit-filled leaders who take over the distribution of the food so that we can devote ourselves to prayer, studying God's word and teaching. So the serving gifts of those people freed up the apostles' gifts of teaching and prayer to be used more fully. So, but here's the thing, and Pastor Ollie will talk about it this week. It doesn't mean if you've got a special gift, okay, so Rolly and I are gifted to teach and preach, we don't still serve. You will still see us pitch in, stack chairs, vacuum floors. Doesn't mean we don't do anything, but that's not, shouldn't be our major focus or if someone's got a different gift. So this gift helps those with other gifts really use them to their full capacity. Then we have the foundational gifts, what this we call gifts are given to establish the church, and they are needed for planting new churches and ministries today. So we have the spiritual gift of apostleship, and this sometimes gets confused with the office of apostle. And again, if you read about this, there's a fair bit of discussion about what this means. Here is how I understand it, and Rolly and I agree on this one. The office of apostle, we believe, was held by a limited number of men chosen by Jesus, spoken of in the New Testament, including Paul, who was included in that. There are no more people who hold the office of apostle. However, there is this spiritual gift of apostleship, and it continues. And the mission for those with this gift of apostleship is to plant new ministries, new churches, go into places where the good news hasn't been preached, and reach across cultures to establish churches in challenging environments. And the gift also includes the capacity to train up leaders to continue that work they've started, because they will move on and start a new thing. Now, you can see this gift working its way in the Apostle Paul. That's what he did. And there are individuals that you will see as you look across the Christian church in the world who do just this. And that's the kind of gift we're talking about. It's a visionary kind of entrepreneurial gift as well. Then we have the evangelism gift. And all Christians are called to evangelise. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't let any of us off the hook. We're all called to share the good news of Jesus. But some are given an extra measure of faith and effectiveness in this whole area of faith sharing. And evangelists are given this unique gift by the Holy Spirit first of all, they seem to be able to get into conversations about faith far more easily than many of us are, and they do it so naturally. And then once they're in the conversation, they have the gift of effectively and clearly communicating the good news of Jesus with these people, often people who can be different to them, and they seem to have a much higher rate of positive response towards the message of salvation in Jesus. So that's the gift of evangelist, even though we all are called to do evangelism. Then we have the gift of pastor, sometimes called shepherd. And this gift is closely related to the spiritual gift of leadership and teaching. And the Holy Spirit gives the spiritual gift of a pastor to summon the church, to humbly teach the church, to guide them, to protect them and lead them in the mission that God has for the church, the Great Commission. Now, because we call our leaders pastors, you might think, well, that's the only place you get to use the gift, spiritual gift of pastors. You've got to be a pastor. No. The spiritual gift of pastoring is that nurturing, faith-encouraging kind of gift. And just one example of where it can work really well is a small group leader. In some ways, you're pastoring a small... You know, if you lead that and you're caring for those people's needs, or even a ministry team... The gift of pastor works really well there. You don't need the name, title, pastor in front of you to have this gift and use it well. We then have the gift of prophecy. And this is the ability to receive a divinely inspired message and deliver it to the church. These messages can take the form of encouragement and correction, disclosure of secret sins. This is usually done on a one-to-one thing. Prediction of future events, comfort, inspiration, or other revelations that the Spirit gives. And the reason the Spirit does this is to equip and build up the church. They are not fresh revelations that change the meaning of Scripture. That's one way you test a prophecy. It will never, ever say anything that's different to the scripture, but it's a specific word from God for a situation. Then we have the gift of teaching. And those with the spiritual gift of teaching love to study the word of God for extended periods of time, and they get into it, and they love to do this not just for their own personal spiritual growth, but they actually have a real desire to then effectively communicate that with others and communicate what the Bible says, what it means, and how we as followers of Jesus can apply it. Having worked closely with Rolly for 6 years, he's got this gift of teaching. He loves studying the word, and then he loves, as Rolly would say, unpacking it with a bunch of believers. It's his gift. You can see it at work. Yeah. We're now going to look at the revelatory gifts, as they're called. Jesus uses these gifts to reveal information, to guide, warn, correct, and encourage the church. The first of these gifts is called discernment. And the Holy Spirit gives discernment to enable certain Christians to discern what's really behind what we're considering in a situation. Is it the influence of God? Or is it the influence of Satan and demonic? Or is it the influence of the world? Or even is it the influence of our own sinful nature and unmet needs that it's at work here? And that discernment enables us to see what is actually pushing this forward. And it's a gift to prevent individual believers and the church of being led astray. It can be from false teaching or just something that's not of God. And the thing is, often things that can look good, and they might be good in and of themselves, are not God's best for us. And that's where discernment's needed. The next revelatory gift is knowledge, and it's also known as a word of knowledge. The gift of knowledge is an understanding of things in this world and in our lives that is based on what the Bible says. It's closely related to the gift of wisdom. And the Holy Spirit gives a spiritual gift to some believers to bring about understanding and inform the church or individual believers. I once heard someone preaching on getting a word of knowledge of God, from God, for a particular person. And he says, what do you do then? And people go, oh, well, you share it. He goes, no, you pray for the gift of wisdom to know what to do with that one bit of knowledge God has given you about a situation. So the two do often go close to hand, because you can blurt out stuff you think God's given you, and it can do more damage and harm if you haven't prayerfully considered it. Then we have the interpretation of tongues. It's put here as a revelatory gift, and it's ahead of the gift of tongues, which I am going to talk about a bit later. The spiritual gift of interpretation of tongues is found alongside of this spiritual gift of tongues. And the spiritual gift is the supernatural ability to understand and explain this message spoken in an unknown language called a tongue. It's a revelatory gift because it means God reveals the meaning of the words and the message being spoken. And it allows the interpreter to communicate the meaning to those who need to hear it. And the goal in all this is that the church is edified and God is glorified. So that's the gift of interpretation of tongues. And then the final one is wisdom. And this gift can easily recognise where a decision or action may lead. You know, it's great having a wise person in a team when you're talking about something. Because, you know, have you ever made a decision here and you thought it was going there, but it actually ends up there? Wise people can often help direct. And we as a church need wisdom to help either individuals or a group head in the right direction. The final lot of gifts are miraculous gifts. And these gifts display the power and presence of God and serve as evidence of Jesus' authority over things. One way these are talked about in the Bible is called signs and wonders. So when a miraculous gift is manifests itself, people start to wonder what's going on here. But the wonder is to be like to point them to the fact that God's here, God's up to something, and he wants you to think about it. The first one is called faith, and the spiritual gift of faith is not to be confused with saving faith. Saving faith is also a gift of the Holy Spirit. but it flows out of the gift of faith. It's rooted in a person's faith, and as they go deep with Jesus in their faith, they grow, they get this gift to trust Jesus to an extent that most of us have trouble with. And those with this gift have a trust and confidence in God that allows them to attempt things that others wouldn't dream of. They just know that God's going to come through, and they see God come through again and again. And it is a spiritual gift. The second miraculous gift is healing, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 12:9, and literally is translated as gifts of healing. And it's closely related to the gift of faith. You need a fair bit of faith to pray for healing, and also the gift of miracles, because sometimes the miracle is the gift of healing. All spiritual gifts are to be exercised in faith, but the gift of healings involves a special faith measure of it when you actually ask for God to heal something that medically they can't treat. Now, it's an interesting gift, because there's never, ever any guarantee that that person will always be able to heal the person they pray for. It's subject to the sovereign will of God, as all spiritual gifts are. And while I believe Scripture makes it clear that we are all to pray for healing and we offer it in our services, there does seem to be people who have this spiritual gift, and that when they feel prompted to pray for healing, so they need to be in tune, they have a higher degree of healings occur as a result of their prayer. This gift then is linked also to the next one of miracles, and those with the spiritual gifts of miracles have a real heightened sensitivity to the presence and power of God through the Holy Spirit. And they sense when God does want to do something, what we would call miraculous. And they have a special measure of faith to trust that God is doing that. And their desire is not to show off, but actually to really awaken in the person that sees the miracle a real hunger to pursue God, to show that Jesus' authority is real. And so these people seek to be, attuned to the Holy Spirit and available to be used by God when prompted. And when this gift is used with maturity, the person will never ever use it to grandstand themselves or develop a following, but to give glory to God. You know, so if someone's been, you know, making connections up and down their streets with people, and they see that someone, you know, they've developed a relationship with a neighbour well enough that the neighbour has a chronic, say, health problem, and you're comfortable enough to say, well, you know, I pray, can I pray with you now? And they sense God wants you to pray, that you pray and a miracle happens and they're healed. The goal is that that person will then go, I've got to really think about this God stuff, because I've just experienced his power. That's why, that's the reason behind the miraculous gifts, is to make people wonder and start considering God. And then the final one I want to talk about is the gift of tongues. It's speaking in the utterance of, it's a prayer language, and it's a message glorifying God, and typically spoken to God in a language that is unknown to the person speaking it or anybody else. So on the day of Pentecost, the people received the gift of tongues. They spoke in a language they didn't know, but it was a known language. It'd be like me receiving the gift of speaking, say, French, and someone who could speak French would understand what I'm saying, but I wouldn't. But the gift of tongues is a language, a prayer language given to us that we don't even understand, and no one else does, unless they've got the gifts of interpreting tongues. It's a prayer language, and people who have the gifts say that when they pray in it, they kind of sense what they're doing, and it's between them and God. We don't practice it in the public setting because we believe you have to have someone who can interpret it. And some limited number of churches say, oh, you've got to receive this gift to show that you've received the Holy Spirit. Scripture doesn't teach that, and we don't actually teach that either. So there's a real quick overview of spiritual gifts listed in the Bible. And my brief explanation may have, in fact, created more questions than answers. And if that's the case, can I encourage you to act on your curiosity? If I've created curiosity, I would be really happy about that. As I said before, the list is illustrative, not exhaustive. Now, in my experience, one spiritual gift I think that I've seen listed and is not here is one I would call the spiritual gift of intercessory prayer. Some people are given a gift to pray for something for a long period of time. Intercessors often will get a physical symptom when God wants them to pray for something. I've seen that gift at work, and there would be other gifts listed that you might think of. So don't let it discourage you if you've always thought you've had this spiritual gift and it's not listed. It could be actually you do. It's just not in that category. Now, I want you to pause and reflect. And I've got the questions on your outline and they'll be on the screen now. But as each gift was described, did the Holy Spirit stir anything in you? And if so, what spiritual gift or gifts were being described? If something comes to mind and you've got your pencil out, write it in there. There's a little bit of space under the question. Secondly then, in what ways are you currently using them to serve the body of Christ, the church? If you're not currently using them, what's preventing you from doing so? Did some of the spiritual gifts I describe actually match abilities you know you have? You know, we talk about administering or teaching or leading or some other thing, maybe. How are you currently using that ability? And then my question is, could the Holy Spirit be stirring you to use your natural ability for greater impact in God's kingdom work? And then finally, I've got the courage to ask the question after I've talked about it so long. Are you still unsure about what your spiritual gifts are? And if that's you, I put that question in to say, hey, that is okay. It's actually normal. It's a journey. And sometimes, as we discover it as we try to use them. Now, I have got some homework, and Anthony, you can head in. Anthony, do you want to come in? But I have a spiritual gifts test I would really encourage all of you to do. And you can do this online on your computer if you are IT savvy. And I've written the links in your outline there. If you get the weekly news and open it up, you can click on the link and it'll take you straight there. Otherwise, you've got to type it in. And there's one for youth also. Now, when you click on the link, you're going to get to a page, and it's going to, because most of our computer screens don't show you the whole thing, it'll ask for your name and your email address, and you go, oh, I don't want to give them my details. If you scroll down a bit further, you can log in as a guest member where you don't have to give them any of your name or email. You're welcome to fill the top bit out, or just do it anonymously down the bottom. So can I encourage you to do that? Alternatively, if this IT stuff drives you crazy, we have printed copies available. And if you're game enough, hold up your hand and our worship hosts are going to pass them out right now. If you're willing to do this, I really encourage you to do it. If your hand doesn't go up, I'm going to assume you're going to do it electronically. And when you do it electronically, it collates it all for you. You don't have to flick through and write all your answers down on the chart. So please don't be shy. Hold your hand up, though, if you want a paper one. Once you've completed it and worked out your results, it is helpful to read about the gifts you've scored highly in. Now, I've given you short descriptions in the sermon outline this week. If you're doing the paper one, that might be all that you can do. But if you're online, I've given you the link that takes it to fuller descriptions of your gifts. So have a look and read. Then when you've completed that, you can value add to this exercise by discussing your results with another Christian who knows you reasonably well or has worked with you on a ministry team. And even better, if they're from Good Shepherd and they've done it and they bring their results and you talk about it together, right? Discussing your results with another Christian helps for a number of reasons. First of all, if you look at the results and go, yeah, I reckon that reflects the kind of things I think God's gifted me in, and they can affirm that in you, great. However, you might get a bunch of results, you go, that doesn't look like me, that doesn't even feel right. And now, that happens with these tests, and one of the reasons is that you understand the question to mean something different to what the person who wrote the question. That's going to happen. It even happened with some of our staff. Don't let that scare you. get your results, talk about it with another person, and they might go, no, I actually see that gift in you. You might have to stop and think about it, or they could go, yeah, I think somehow that's come up with the wrong result. That gets rid of the anxiety in you that it's telling you you're something you know in your heart you're not. And I know of someone who actually, the person helped them answer the questions and said, no, I don't think you're seeing yourself quite as accurately as you could. A full course on this usually gets input from outside people, so you get a really accurate picture. But please do that. And then once you feel you're okay about what it's come out with, why not spend a bit of time talking or praying for each other? Now, if you're in a small group and you're meeting in the next couple of weeks, I really want to encourage you to all do this and make this the topic of discussion at your small group meeting. Because the people in your small group will be able to have input into your results. They might go, yeah, I see that at work, or no, you don't think that's you, and I don't see that either. That's actually helpful. And they might be able to point to other gifts on there. Next Sunday, Pastor Rowley is going to look at how to find the best fit for using your spiritual gifts in the church. And if you can't be here, can I encourage you to listen to it online? Because just because you know your gifts, you still might be confused about where to use them. And the following week, on the 22nd, we're actually going to spend some time offering up ourselves and our gifts to God as an act of worship to Him. And I believe that this process will be far more meaningful if you have some understanding of your gifts to bring before God and offer up. Thank you for your time. I know it's been a bit longer than usual, but I really wanted to unpack each of the gifts to give the Spirit the room to move and stir us. Let's pray. Father God, I would have no idea what's going on in each person here, but I just want to pray that your Spirit would be at work in us. Perhaps some of us know our gifts and have been confirmed in what we've heard today. I just pray your blessing on them. Others of us have got a lot of questions and don't know. I pray that you would reveal this to us as we engage in the spiritual gifts test, as we discuss this with others, as we listen to the next week's message as well, Lord. But may your gifts be released among us so that your restoration plan through Jesus will infiltrate every aspect of our society and community as we go out and use our gifts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.